on Chesamud Beis at the bottom, five lines up from the bottom of the page. Now, before we start on the Gemara itself, the Gemara is going to bring us into a discussion that we need to know something about in advance. And that will be a discussion about the status of challah, the dough that you separate for the Kohen, outside of Eretz Yisrael. So in order to understand what the Gemara is going to do with it, let's first discuss challah chutz la'aretz in general. So I brought you source Aleph, it's the Mishnah in challah. Rabbi Gamliel Amar Shalosh Aratzos L'Challah. Rabbi Gamliel says there are three different areas with different rules as far as Challah. And what you'll see there in the brackets is what I added just as a way of explaining the Mishnah based on the Rambam in his Perush of the Mishnah. Me'eretz Yisrael Va'ad Kiziv, which is, as I wrote in the brackets, Da'inu Eretz Shechziku Olei Bavel, the land that we call Israel with full Kedusha, because when the Jews came back for the second Beis HaMikdash, they settled there as well. That is an area where challah achas. You separate challah once, and that is challah bona fide, and you're done. Second area, mikiziv ve'ad hanahar ve'ad amana, from kiziv to the river to amana, and that's a description of northern boundaries of Israel. Where these are is a really good question and a shiur in its own right. But the point is that these are areas which were settled, as I wrote in the brackets, by the Jews coming out of Egypt. So they're part of halachic Israel. But because the Jews didn't settle there when they came back for the second Beis HaMikdash, they don't have full Kedusha. So in this area, shtei chalos, you actually have to separate challah twice. Achas l'ur, one that you're going to burn. Okay, ur meaning fire, like ur kazim, as the Medrash goes, since we have Lach Lecha this week. So one is burned, and the reason I added it in brackets is because it is tamei, and therefore if it's really challah, and it becomes tamei, no one's allowed to use it. And v'achas the kohen, and then you have one that midrabanan, we tell you should separate and give to the kohen. Shel ur yesh lashir, the one that's going in the fire is, so to speak, the real one. Because you're burning it, because it's challah that's tummy, so that's the real one. And therefore, that one, you have to do the proper amount for separating challah. Vishal kohen ein lashir. The one you're going to give to the kohen is just a rabbinic decree to make sure that people will remember there is such a thing as separating challah, and so therefore, any minimal amount works. It's just a rabbinic enactment because we want you to remember that challah is actually supposed to go to the kohen. Challah is not supposed to be burned. Right? God willing, tomorrow's Friday, so on Sunday, Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, and all of the Jews who bake challah are going to assume that the way it works is you take some and you burn it, not realizing that actually that's not what's supposed to happen. It's supposed to go to the kohen. But that's what my mother did. That's what my grandmother did. That's what everybody in my family has done.
Shear is not talking about entire challah.
No. The minimum shear, right, for separating the says correct. Well, not shear of the dough from which you're separating. Shear of the amount that you are separating from the dough. Min hanahar ve'ad amanah v'lifnim. And then you have the third area. And this is an area that's outside of Eretz Yisrael. So he says, shtei chalos. You also separate out two chalos, the Mishnah says. And in brackets, I noted both are derabanan, if you're outside of Israel. Achas le'ur, one is tamei, and therefore it's going to be burned. V'achas le'kohen, and one is given to the kohen. In chutz la'aretz, that's what he says. We don't do that, but that's what he says. Shel ur ein la shir. The one that's supposed to go to the fire has no shir because it's a derabanan, and they didn't say you had to do it kashir. Vishal kohen yesh la shir. The one that's going to the kohen is kashir because we want you to do more for the one that is actually going to get eaten. Why we don't do this, why we don't do two, that isn't the point.
Wasn't there a time they did that? Like, they actually did this my understanding is that they did it in Italy up to a certain point, and they stopped doing it.
Don't know.
Yeah, long after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed.
Interesting. Okay. So the Mishnah tells us that challah outside of Eretz Yisrael is fundamentally derabanan, and that's what the Rambam writes in source base. Mafrishin challah b'chutz la'aretz midivrei sofrim. We separate challah outside of Israel rabbinically, kidei shelo tishtakach taras challah miYisrael, just because we don't want you to forget it. So challah is really, what this means is, challah is really one of the mitzvot hatzlios ba'aretz. It's an Israel-dependent mitzvah. We shouldn't think of it as just any other mitzvah that can be done anywhere in the world. It's really an Israel mitzvah. And what we're doing is just so that we'll know there is such a thing as separating challah. Where exactly do you have to do it? So the Meiri and the Ritva in Yevamos say only in lands that are close to Israel. And similarly, we have a concept of separating Truma and Meiser in lands that are close to Israel. Also, the concern is because people go back and forth. However, everybody else under the sun, the Rosh, the Ramban, Rashba, Rambam, they all disagree and say no everywhere. Correct. The question arises, we're going to create a gezerah like this for challah, that you have to separate challah anywhere in the world. So why don't we have such a gezerah for Truma and Meiser? Why is Truma and Meiser only in Israel, and then Midrabanan also in the lands that are near it? Why don't I say that, you know, in Toronto, you should also have to separate Truma and Meiser? So Tosfos in Kiddushin offers a couple of answers. If you take a look at Source Gimel, the Gemara in Kiddushin quotes a Mishnah. Kol mitzvah shi'tzluya ba'aretz eino noheges ela ba'aretz. If a mitzvah is dependent on Israel, it applies only in Israel. V'she'eino tluya ba'aretz, if it's not dependent on land, then noheges bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz, then it applies everywhere. Chutz min ha'arla v'kilayim, we have a couple of exceptions to this rule. One exception is arla, which is land dependent, in the sense that it's about a tree, right? And yet it applies everywhere, right? Kilayim is another one, right? Not to plant species and to graft them in certain ways, plant them too close together. And Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Afa Chadash, Rabbi Eliezer says Chadash as well, is technically Tzluya Baretz, but it applies outside of Israel too. Now, Chadash outside of Eretz Yisrael is its own discussion. The truth of the matter is that the arguments in favor of Chadash and Chutz La'aretz are pretty solid. It seems very clear that this is a case in which there was a kula because people couldn't survive otherwise. But the Arla and Kilayim exist outside of Israel, but in altered ways. So, for example, with Arla, we have this odd rule that if you're not sure whether it's Arla or not outside of Israel, you go lakula. Not because it's derabanan, but just because we have this rule that says if you're not sure about Arla, you go leniently. And Chutz La'aretz, correct. Kilayim also, the rules are different for Kilayim outside of Israel. Many of the categories of Kilayim that apply in Israel do not apply outside of Israel. But that's all just the Mishnah, that's the setup for us. Tosfos, commenting on this Mishnah, says the following in Source Daled. Gazu al chala b'chol makom. They decreed regarding chala everywhere. Aval al truma u'maiser lo gazru b'mekomos rachok me'eretz Yisrael. But when it comes to truma and maiser, they did not make such a decree far from Israel. Ela dafka a'ayaros hasmuchos la'aretz, but only four places that are close to Israel. V'hainu taimo de gazru al chala b'chol makom tfei mitruma and maiser. And this is the reason why they made the gzera for chala, which they did not for truma and maiser. L'fi sha'chala doma yoser l'chovas haguf. Because challah, he says, is really more like something that's not land dependent; it's person dependent. Because the way you become obligated in separating challah is when you make dough. Right? It's not the same as mitzvah satzlius baritz normally. Truma, meiser; these things are really more about the produce itself. There's a, granted that there's Gemar Malacha, there are things you have to do that will trigger the obligation, it's more inherent to the product. Whereas when you're dealing, or I should say to the produce, when you're dealing with challah, you have to do things and change it. You have to grind it up, grind up the wheat, make flour, mix it with water, have it rise, right? There are things that you have to do that will trigger the obligation, so it's less land dependent. That's Tosis's first answer.
For the Rambam's thing, it seems to be just a recognition or remembrance about they shouldn't forget. Why wouldn't we say the same thing? Pasha, just say we do need do Truma and Meiser simply because people shouldn't forget. Certainly in a time when people weren't there weren't that many people in Eretz Yisrael, that certainly would be something that we would consider as important, right?
Right, but the question is why not for Truma and Meiser?
That's what I'm asking. Why not for Truma?
Right, so that's what Tosfos is asking.
Right, I know, that's what
you say. The answer is because challah is less of a mitzvah hatzluya baretz.
Yeah, I'm just saying, just reading the Rambam without
less of mitzvah, more of mitzvah. The point is that it's still the issue of the concept of forgetting something is still there.
The rabbi would make a distinction.
No, but he would because he's weighing. This is not an open playing field where you get to do whatever you like with it, and therefore, if I'm concerned that people are going to forget it, I'm going to create some way to remember it. There are also reasons not to do things like this. Right? I just gave a Yoshua Shir today, which we talked about Achan taking from the Cherem. Right after the war with Yericho, Achan takes from the spoils. Right. And then the Jews go out to war against Ai, and they are routed, and Yoshua turns to God, and he says, what happened? And Hashem opens his response to him saying, Kum Lach, which sounds odd. What does that mean? Get up for yourself, right? Apropos of Lech Lecha, Kum Lach, get up for yourself. Wait for yourself. So Rashi there says, you're the one who decided to make the Cherem of Yericho off limits, and had you not done that, this wouldn't have been a problem. It's only because you went and made a gezerah that now the Jews lost this battle against Ai, and 36 people died, and so on. It's on your head, Yehoshua. Don't make gezeros. Okay? Yet enough. So that's the imperative against. So when the Rambam says we observe chalas so that we don't forget, we can't just say, oh, let's make this for all of the mitzvahs at Leos Bar. Right? So we're only going to make it on something like challah, which in any case is less Israel anchored. That's Tosfos' way to look at it. Tosfos has a couple of answers. I thought I had brought more of the Tosfos, actually, but I didn't. He simply says here, it should apply everywhere. He says, true and meiser, you have to have land, right? As opposed to dough, which is portable. It's more like a land-dependent thing. Dough has this portability aspect to it that makes it less of a mitzvah to leave Baretz.
What about the gifts of the coin?
What do you mean? Which ones?
Why should they be, you got outside of the shuk and the...
So I think the reason... You're talking about like Zor L'Chayayim Keva.
Yes.
So I think because in those cases you don't have a tevel issue. In other words, if I have an animal, right, certain parts of the animal, when you shaft an animal, are supposed to go to the Kohen. But in the event that you didn't separate them out to the Kohen, for the Kohen, the rest of the animal is 100% mutter.
Right.
Whereas with challah, if you didn't separate challah, the challah is tevel. You're not allowed to eat it. So therefore, that's a more serious thing, yeah.
Remember, when Tyson gave his terrors, it was not tevel.
This would be true, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. So
he had vineyards and everything.
Rashi made wine.
Yeah, he was in the wine business. He probably bought.
Making wine does not mean you actually own the vineyard.
Sorry, maybe.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Trader.
Yeah. It could be that he may have. There is so much there's a lot of misinformation about Rashi in general. So, whether he was a wine merchant or whether he made the wine or whether he owned the vineyard is not clear cut. Okay.
Well, where he sold Stamianum.
Now that's pretty clear cut. So, going now into the Gemara here, we'll see why all of this is relevant. We're starting off again with this with the goldfish, right? With the koi, this creature that is neither chaya nor behema, and therefore the kisoi hadam is suspect. So Tani Rabbi Zera, lo koi bilvad omru, ela afilu shachat behema chaya va'of. Vindis arvu daman zeba ze asur lachasosu v'yom tov. He says, we told you last week not to cover the dam of a koi on yom tov because you don't know whether that's required or not. So he says, I'll give you another case where you wouldn't do the kisoi hadam on yom tov. If you have blood mixed together from some that require kisoi and some that don't, so then you don't do the kisoi on yom tov. Yeah.
Isn't that different? Because koi, there's a suffix whether you have an obligation or not.
Correct.
But where you have some that comes from an animal that you have to bury the blood, there's some that certainly have to be covered.
Right.
There's some parts that isn't, but there's some that is.
Right. So as the Gemara is going to make clear in the next line, but the truth is it's worth saying it before the Gemara says it because of the question. What we're talking about here is a situation in which you're going to need to do more than one act of covering. there's too much blood there to cover it in one go. And therefore, with each individual act that you do, you don't know whether you have blood in there that's chayav or not. Go back to your Minamino discussion. Mm-hmm. That's really what we're talking about. Because look what happens in the next line. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Yassinia. Rabbi Yossi bar Yassinia or Yassinia says, Lo shanu ela she'ein yachol lechasoso bedekira achas. He says, that is only if, that you're not allowed to cover it on Yom Tov, that's if you would need more than one shovelful. But if you could do it in one shovelful, then mutter. Because precisely, you know there's something that requires it. So the Gemara says, well, pshita, isn't that obvious? Mau desema nigzer dekira achas atu shte dekiros. Yeah, but I would have thought that we should make the gezera of one shovelful, lest you do two shovels full. Right? In other words, we're going to say, even if you only have a small amount of the dam, so you know that there really includes, this dam really does include the dam that is chayav, nonetheless, we're going to tell you, don't cover this dam. So that's the first case of Kisui Hadam that we discuss. The case in which you have this mixture. Then we get the second case. Amar Rabba, or in some editions, Rav. Shochat Sipor Me Erev Yom Tov. You shechted a bird before Yom Tov. Ein Mechasin Oso Be Yom Tov. You're not allowed to cover the dam on Yom Tov. Right? Because you should have done it in advance. You left the mitzvah already yesterday. So now you gotta wait. Just before you flip the page, take a look at Rashi, Ein Mechasin Oso Be Yom Tov. He expands a little further. He should have covered it before Yom Tov. The other concern that we have normally is if you tell someone not to do Kisui Adam, so he's going to say, well, I'm not going to do the Shechita then. Right? That was something we already saw. But he says it doesn't apply here, right? Because you shechted it before Yom Tov. The fact that he's not covering it now isn't going to prohibit the bird. So therefore, he will have Simchas Yom Tov. Okay. So that's the statement. If you shechted the bird on Erev Yom Tov, you may not cover it on Yom Tov, and that's what brings us into the challah discussion. But with the bird, he says, there's no issue of Simchas Yom Tov. Number one, you will still shecht it. Number two, it won't make the bird aser. But the Gemara then goes from that and says, Gilgal Isa may Erev Yom Tov. Now the word Gilgal is not a simple word. I'm going to take the word Gilgal right now to mean that he mixed together dough. Okay, he did kneading of the dough. The reason I say it's not clear, we'll come back to. But he says, Gilgal Isa may Erev Yom Tov. If he mixed the dough before Yom Tov,
separated? It doesn't mean
he's not separated? No, that for sure doesn't. Then Mafrish mi mena chalasa be Yom Tov. Then you separate chala on Yom Tov. So even though we said if you shechted before Yom Tov, you don't do the Kisui Hadam on Yom Tov. When it comes to dough, even though you could have done the Hafrasha before Yom Tov, we're going to let you do the Hafrasha, the separation, on Yom Tov itself. The reason why I would have thought you're not supposed to is because if you're taking something that we were not allowed to eat, and then you're going to make it edible, that's an act of fixing it. So Hafrasha, separating challah, is like separating Truma and Meiser. You're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. That's what I would have thought. But he's saying here, no, you're allowed to separate the challah on Yom Tov.
And the challah itself in Chutz Laaretz is, if you separate it, is not mukser.
We haven't said anything about Chutz Laaretz yet. We're getting there.
No, I'm just
wondering. But if he says, I'm going to separate it tomorrow after Yom Tov is out, wouldn't that be permissible for him to still be allowed to eat it?
Well, if you eat it, how are you going to separate it?
Well, okay, so I mean, he'll leave over.
So that we have to see in the Gemara right here. So that was the opening statement from Rabba. Avua de Shmuel Amar, Afilu Gilgal Isa Me Erev Yom Tov, Ein Mafresh Mimena Chalasa Be Yom Tov. Shmuel's father disagrees. He says, no, you are not allowed to separate the Chala on Yom Tov in this case. So the Gemara then brings in Shmuel himself. Lema Pliga de Shmuel Ad De Avuha. They take out the word to Shmuel, but it doesn't matter for our purposes. Shmuel seems to disagree with his father then. His father said, don't separate it on Yom Tov. D'amar Shmuel, because Shmuel makes the statement, Chalas Chutzal Aretz, Ochel v'holech v'achar kach mafrish. Shmuel says, outside of Israel, you are allowed to eat the bread, leave the dough at the end, and then you'll be fine. Why are you allowed to do that? Rashi explains, because challah outside of Eretz Yisrael is a derabanan. So this is a leniency that they built in, that you can just leave some over at the end, and after Shabbos is over, you will separate some of what you left, and that will be your challah. You're not separating the challah now. In other words, I'm eating this loaf of bread here, right? I leave a chunk at the end. That's not my challah. Right. After Shabbos is over, I then take some of that and separate it off and turn it into challah. So Shmuel says, I am allowed to do that. Well, if Shmuel says that I am allowed to do that, then why wouldn't his father have said, you are allowed to separate challah on Yom Tov? In other words, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi explains the question. You want to look at Rashi, Ochel v'holech. If you see where the lines are narrow in Rashi, and go down about 10 lines. Okay? Ochel v'holech. You just go on eating kol hapas, you eat all the bread. Umishayer kedei chala, and you leave over an amount for chala, appropriate for chala. Mafrisha v'achrona, and you'll separate that out at the end. Alma we see. Hafrasha sa shalo litzarechi. Here's the point. Separating out the challah is actually unnecessary, because you were allowed to eat it even without separating it. V'lo havia hafrasha. It's not really called an act of separating such that it should be aser on Yom Tov. It's a funny trick, right?
You're not misaki.
It's because it's not a necessary act, you're not fixing anything, and therefore it's mutter. So if it's necessary, it's aser. If it's unnecessary, it's mutter. That's the upshot. He continues to say, "V'amafresh b'yom tov." If someone fixes it on Yom Tov, eino kimisakin. He's not really like he's fixing it. Dilitzer such that it should be aser kishar hagbahas truma like other tithing. Degazu barabbanan v'neishener kimisakin, where the rabbanan said, "Don't do it because it'll look like you are fixing something." So the statement here, what Rashi is explaining in our Gemara, is that Shmuel says you don't have to do hafresha to be able to eat. If so, you are allowed to do hafrasha on Yom Tov. You follow? Again, the key point is necessary equals asur, unnecessary equals mutter. So therefore, Shmuel's father says it's asur, then he must believe it's necessary. But Shmuel says it's unnecessary. So that, is this in fact a machlokes between Shmuel and his father? If so, then so. But that's odd. We'd like to think it's not so. So Amar Rava, Rava says back, no. Milo mo de Shmuel, shimkara ale Hashem sheasur lezarim. Wouldn't Shmuel agree that if you did do hafrasha, if you said kara ale Hashem, you called it a name, means if you identified it as challah, non-Kohanim would not be allowed to eat it. In other words, it may be true that it's unnecessary, but it's still an act of hafrasha. Okay, it's unnecessary. Perhaps you can eat the dough without, you can eat the bread without it. Nonetheless, what you are doing is an act of separating challah, and therefore it's going to be usur on Yom Tov. So even though Shmuel says it's unnecessary, he will still understand that it's usur. So again, to make sure that we're clear on what we've done so far.
But nevertheless, it doesn't change the fact that Ochel v'Holech, it's still Ochel v'Holech. How do you
But it's still, right, but it's still, well, Ochel v'Holech is fine.
It's still fine. You can't be mafresh.
Correct. Right. Correct. So again, what we're saying is this. Where this person made the dough on Erev Yom Tov, he kneaded the dough, he mixed the dough on Erev Yom Tov. So the first view was he's allowed to separate it on Yom Tov. Okay, he's allowed to separate challah. Shmuel's father said he's not allowed to. Okay, yeah.
But the prohibition can't be misaking. It has to be a different prohibition.
Why?
Because what are you misaking by saying that now it's us or Lazar? The act of giving it a name,
no,
is, we've determined, is not what's being misaking it, because you could be Eichel V'Hoyle.
Correct. But the way we look at it, and Rashi lends himself to this, the last Rashi before the Mishnah, is that we have an overall decree, don't separate Trumos and Maestros on Yom Tov, because overall it is an act of mitaking. And even if there happens to be a case in which it's not mitaking, because you could get away with it without it, nonetheless it's part of this class of tithing which we're not going to let you do. That's the way that we look at it, which is why Rashi says what he says, Isa bichlal ein magbi in trumos umaisus b'yom tov, even though in this case it happens to be mutter.
Why does he say zor? Wouldn't it be usher for a kohen too?
No, why would it be asked to do a kohen?
Could be the tummy.
Could be not. We don't know. There's nothing by definition that it's going to make a tummy.
You're not going to be machmir.
Yeah. No, there's certainly no reason to say usher for everybody. It's usher for Zarm, because their point isn't to say who it's usher and who it's mutter for. Their point is simply to say this is a bona fide act of hafrasha.
Right.
So again, to make sure that we're clear, Rabba says if you kneaded the dough on Erev Yom Tov, you are allowed to separate the challah on Yom Tov. The Shmuel's father says, no, you're not allowed to do that. You are fixing it. But Shmuel himself says that you can just leave it at the end. You're not really fixing it. Is Shmuel going to disagree with his father? To which we say, no. Shmuel will also say you're not allowed to do this on Yom Tov. It's not a necessary act. It's not truly fixing it. Okay, I accept that. Nonetheless, it is an act of tithing it. When you call this challah, non-Kohanim are going to be ushered to it. And therefore, it's within the class of things you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. That's the basic flow of the Gemara. The catch now is with Tosfos. Tosfos Gilgal, which is a nice solid Tosfos to see. It flows easily, it really does. Yes. But also, like, the lines are all thin lines. Like, there really isn't that much there. Tosfos asks a question. I understand what we've said so far about the way Hafrasha works and how you can leave it over at the end and so on, because it's challah from outside of Eretz Yisrael, and that's all fine and good. However, what I don't understand is the distinction you made between Kisui Hadam and Hafrasha. If you take a look at Tosfos, he writes the... I wanted to see where he introduces the question. The truth is the question is unspoken, so I'll say it outside of the Tosfos. He simply answers it. But the question that Tosfos is trying to address is, why did Rabba say that you're not allowed to cover the dam if you shechted on Erev Yom Tov, but you are allowed to do hafrashas challah, to separate challah, if you kneaded the dough on Erev Yom Tov? What's the difference between the two? No kisui, yes hafrasha. That's what Tosfos asks. So he offers a couple of answers. Gilgal Issa Me'er of Yom Tov. Actually, he's going to offer four answers. And if you see on your sheet, letter Hey. So the reason why there's a strike through on the third and fourth is because he's going to reject those answers. So that was, you know, kind of a way to illustrate that. So Gilgal Issa Me'er of Yom Tov. Mafresh Chalav B'Yom Tov. So he first gives you Rashi's explanation. Pirish Rashi. Rashi explained. Da'af al-gav de'ein magbi'in trumos u'maisres B'Yom Tov, even though you're not allowed to tithe on Yom Tov. V'hanami kisrumas gore nedamya, and this is also like tithing. Shuha yachal ha'afresh me'erev Yom Tov, which he could have done before Yom Tov. Da'me esmol hitchil zmano la'afresh, because already the time to separate was yesterday before Yom Tov. Disnam, like the Mishnah Challah says, me'emas ha'chiyuv challah, misha gilgal. When are you obligated to separate challah? Once you start with the dough. Afilu achim afreshin la. Nonetheless, you still are allowed to do the separating of challah. Shelo gazru al trumas isa. They did not make a decree prohibiting the separation from the dough. Sherei mutter legalgel b'yom tov v'lefos kidei lechol paschama. V'az mutter lahavashim ena challah kevin shebiyom tov nilosha. He says because fundamentally dough is different from truma and meiser, in the sense that you would be allowed to bake challah fresh on Yom Tov. And if you baked challah fresh on Yom Tov, you would be allowed to separate the challah for the Kohen. So there is a way in which it could be mutter on Yom Tov. As opposed to Truma and Meiser, you're not picking produce on Yom Tov. There is no such case. Im kein, lo haya hafreshes challah bichlal iser hagbas truma. Vafilu kisha gilgalami ba'odiyom. So therefore, separating challah is not within the same rubric as separating truma, even if you did the dough before Yom Tov.
That's the Rashi. The Rashi conceptualizes it as the same rubric, right?
Well, no, this is Rashi.
Right,
this is Rashi's own approach. But that's his first answer for it. What's the weakness in this answer? Remember, what was our question?
What way is related to
Kisui Hadam? Right. Our question, no, not in what way is it related, but
This won't work for Kisui Adam.
Right.
This won't work for Kisui Adam. Your argument is, the reason why you're allowed to separate challah on Yom Tov, when you did this, when you made the Do'er of Yom Tov, is because after all, in the event that you made challah on Yom Tov, you would be allowed to do it. With Shechita, right? What if you shechted an animal on Yom Tov?
You finish off the job.
If you shecht an animal on Yom Tov, then we say that you do Kisui Adam, assuming you have the dirt available in some way. So why is it that when it came to Kisui Adam for the Shechita that you did on Erev Yom Tov, then we didn't say, well, you could have done a Shechita on Yom Tov, and had you done that, you would have been able to do Kisui Adam. I don't understand this answer in Tosfos. I don't have an answer for my question. This is my open question. But it's okay, because he gives you a second answer. Odie Shlomar, he says, you could also say, Dilif, and this comes back to my question about what the meaning is of the word Gilgal. He says, Dilifia Yerushalmi Necha. This works within the Yerushalmi. And actually, I brought you the Yerushalmi on your sheet. If you take a look at source Vav, this is the Yerushalmi that he's talking about. They first quote the statement, Halash Isa B'Yom Tov, Mafish Halasa B'Yom Tov. If you need dough on Yom Tov, you separate challah. Lasha may erev Yom Tov, if you need it before Yom Tov, v'shachach lahafrish chalasa, but you forgot to do separation of challah, asur l'taltala, then the whole thing is mukta, because the dough is off limits. V'ein tzarech lomar litul mimena, and certainly you wouldn't be allowed to separate from it. End of quote. And the Yerushalmi then says, erase lo amar elo lash, aval erase lo. He says, there's a difference between two verbs, lush and erase. The what they talked about there was where he did lush on Erev Yom Tov. If lush is an advanced stage of kneading the dough, erase is where you just set it up. You got the flour wet. The difference is that if you went as far as lush on Erev Yom Tov, that's where we say you're not allowed to separate the challah on Yom Tov. But if all you did was erase, if all you did was to set up the initial stages, then you'd be allowed to separate challah on Yom Tov. Again, the Yerushalmi says, I'm going to say the opposite of the way they said it, because I think it's clearer if you say it the opposite way. There are different stages of making dough. The first stage, you took the flour, you mixed it with water, right? That's what we call erase. Okay, your second stage, you've actually kneaded it and you have a real doughy substance there. You can technically separate challah already from the time that you did erase, from the time that you exposed the flour to the water. You didn't have to wait for the kneading. At that point, you could already have done it. But if you stopped there before Yom Tov, you didn't do the kneading, and then on Yom Tov, you finished the job, you're allowed to separate challah on Yom Tov. Because all you had done before Yom Tov was just the very early stages. You were eligible for separating challah, but no one really expected you to. Whereas, if you went all the way as far as lush, you made a real dough before Yom Tov, and you still didn't separate challah, then we won't let you do it on Yom Tov. You follow? The Yerushalmi makes a distinction. Our Gemara did not. Our Gemara said, if you Gilgal Isa, then you're allowed to do this on Yom Tov. So what Tosfos is going to suggest is that the verb Gilgal does not refer to the advanced stage where you did Lisha. Gilgal is earlier. You've just mixed flour and water. And because you only did that very preliminary stage, we didn't really expect you to separate challah at that point. And therefore, on Yom Tov, when you go the rest of the way, we're going to let you separate the dough. Take a look at Tosfos and see how he does it.
So really there is no difference between Kisui Adam, because the latter case is as if you did...
That was complete.
Right, you did the lush. The lush would be like the shechita on Yom Tov.
Exactly, or Erev Yom Tov.
Or Yom Tov, or Erev Yom Tov, right? Yeah. Either way.
So, exactly. He says, Odie Shlomar, you could also answer, Dilafia Yerushalmi Necha. Dikamai Rishalo Gamar Halisha May Erev Yom Tov. Within the Yerushalmi, this works, because it's talking about where he did not complete the Lisha before Yom Tov. Ve'av agav disof sof haya yachol lahafrish mi be'od yom mishas gilgul, granted that he could have separated challah before Yom Tov, once you do gilgul, you're able to do that. Mikol makom, still, achar shenigmar halisha be'yom tov, havale ki'ilu nasis kol halisha be'yom tov. Since he completed the kneading on Yom Tov, it's as though the whole thing was done on Yom Tov. Sheregilush lo lahafrish challah gmar halisha, because that's when people normally do separation of challah, once they have actual dough. ulaolam afreshas chala havi bichlal hagbonas truma hecha dahi lo lahafresh me esmol. But really, separating chala is like separating truma, such that you should have done it the day before, before Yom Tov, assuming you had reached this stage of Lisha. So Tosfos' second answer is to say that the reason we distinguished here between Kisui Hadam and separating Challah is because in the separating Challah case, you hadn't really gone so far before Yom Tov that we would have expected you to separate Challah. That's only in the later stage. That's Tosfos' second answer. And actually, I brought you in Sor Zion. We didn't end up needing it, but needing, no pun intended. But Sor Zion is the Karban Ha'edah's comment to that Yerushalmi, where he explains the difference between the two stages, and he says specifically that Gilgul is simply mixing together water, flour, and salt. That's what he says.
So it's a little bit of a knas.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Well, because you didn't get your act together. You went this far and you didn't separate challah.
Where's the knas?
Well, because the knas is essentially that you now can't separate challah.
But you can still eat it. What do you care?
Okay, well, for a guy who feels uncomfortable eating it and not separating the challah.
Okay.
He's not having simchas yontif.
As long as he's eating, he's gonna eat. If he wasn't going to eat, we wouldn't have made the gzera. But that's the second answer that Tosus offers. He then offers two more answers, which he's then going to reject, but it's Torah and let's learn it. He says, Aval, however, we're about halfway down the thin lines. Avalo matzila meimar, delahachi mechalek ben kisui, mishum degabe kisui lo mimna misimchas yomtov, deina kisui ma'akev ha'achila, aval afreshas chala ma'akev ha'achila. He says, you might have suggested that if the guy doesn't do kisui hadam, if he doesn't do kisui hadam, he's still allowed to eat. Right? The Howie's point that we've discussed before. If he doesn't do kisui, he's still allowed to eat. Right. Whereas, if he doesn't do challah, he won't be allowed to eat. And therefore, we'll let you separate the challah. But he says, that's not true. Does it? No, it's not so. Because it's talking about outside of Israel. Kedamer b'samuch, as the Gemara itself indicates. In which case, you are allowed to eat and just separate later on. And the Gemara indicated that no one disagrees with that. So so he rejects the third answer, hence the strikeout on the sheet. And then the last answer, sorry.
No, I'm just sort of...
And the last answer that he gives, he begins with the word Tosefta, but he doesn't mean Tosefta like the brisos that are collected. Tosefta there means Tosfos. Uba Tosefta Piresh, in this Tosfos they explain the fourth answer, the time of the Rabba de Mari Bechutzala Aretz, Velo Mechzi Kimitake, Kevin Shabalav Hache Yuchalechol. You're talking about outside of Israel, and therefore it doesn't really look like you're fixing it, because you're allowed to eat the bread anyway, just leave some over. Avo be'eretz Yisrael mo de Rabba. But if it was in fact in Eretz Yisrael, Rabba would say it's the same thing for Kisui Adam and for Challah. That's what he says, similar to Rashi's approach. What do you mean?
Well, he doesn't make a distinction between, he compares the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. Right, and he uses the Rishami to interpret this particular Gemara.
Yeah,
he doesn't raise the issue. Well, okay, but how do you bring that as a raya, that particular svara, if it's regarding Eretz Yisrael, not Chutzlaretz? Maybe there's.
Oh, you mean you're asking on the previous answer? Yeah, I'm asking on this answer. If we were talking about Chalas Chutzlaretz, how can I borrow from? Well, the question is really the other way. The question is not against our Gemara. The question is against the Rishami. How can the Yerushalmi tell me if it's dealing with Chalas Eretz Yisrael, presumably, right, not Chalas Chutz La'aretz, right, how can the Yerushalmi tell me that I would be allowed to separate Challah on Yom Tov when there it actually is Ma'akev? That's your yeah, question. So the answer I would give you is that the Yerushalmi is going to say that the principle that permits me to separate the Challah here is because you are allowed to separate challah on Yom Tov in general.
Right.
You know, if I bake challah on Yom Tov, I'm allowed to. If I make it from scratch,
he's telling you that
I'm allowed to.
That isa, that iris that you did beforehand, rather, is not part of the process. Really, it's not enough,
right,
of a process.
Then,
so it's like you made everything on that on that yontif, and therefore you're allowed to be do afrasha.
Right. No. I mean, the novelty of chutzal haaretz is that that doing the act. Well, no, but the novelty of chutzal haaretz is that doing the act of afrasha isn't really
amasai.
Isn't really fixing anything. It isn't an act of repairing anything. That's the novelty. But whether you're dealing with Eretz Yisrael or Chutzal Haaretz, the rule is still going to be the same, that you're allowed to separate challah if you bake challah from scratch on Yom Tov. The only question is going to be, what are you going to do with the stuff that should have been separated on Erev Yom Tov? That's
the point, though, in Yerushalmi is dealing with the Deraisa. We're dealing with the Rabbanan here.
No, that's true. That's true.
But it seems like there's no distinction of the Gezerah of not being taking challah.
Well,
that's the
question, I guess.
Because that's what we're focusing on, is the act of taking challah, is that permissible or not?
Right.
We don't really care if you're in Chutzal Haaretz and you can eat it anyway, or if you're in Eretz Yisrael and you can't eat it beforehand.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Rather than go through Tosa's fourth answer, it's an interesting one, but I want to make sure to get to one other piece of Tosfos here, and I don't want to start from scratch with it next week. If you go further down, there's a very interesting piece here toward the bottom of Tosfos. If you see the bottom of Tosfos, and you go up from there 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines, towards the beginning of the line, V'hecha d'shachach. The opening words on the line are Kamo Aras, and it's right after that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. V'hecha d'shachach v'lo hifrish min apas me'erev yom tov. Practical question, he says. What if you made dough on Erev Yom Tov and you forgot to separate out challah? You were really busy. Okay? Now what do you do? So he's going to give us three answers. He says, Kaimolan d'chalas chutz laretz ocha v'holech v'achakach mafrish. We know that outside of Eretz Yisrael, you just eat. And then you'll separate later after Yom Tov ve'imkein, and so what should you do? Yishayer menapas mikol echad ve'echad, leave a little bit of each loaf, ve'ochel hasha'ar, and eat the rest, ulamachar yafrish challah, and then separate challah the next day, v'tzeruch shetehe gedola kedei she'yela hakeril achar afrasha. The piece that you're going to leave behind has to be large enough that when you separate challah from it, there will still be a recognizable piece that you left. It has to be a real act of hafrasha. Dichsiv reishis, because the Torah says reishis arisoseichem, the first of your dough you separate. Debayin and shushare anikarin, so whatever you leave behind has to be visible. That's his first answer. Second answer. V'hecha da'afa areva malea isam erev yom tov. If you baked a bowl full of dough before yom tov, v'shachach vol hifrish chalam erev yom tov, and you forgot to separate chalam, yishayir pas achas b'shvil kulam ad l'machar, mipnei shegabal v'keacha. Then it's easy. You take one of the rolls that you made. You made a whole bunch of rolls out of this big bowl, right? So he says, so it was all united by virtue of being in the same big bowl. So take one loaf. And leave that loaf for tomorrow. You don't have to leave a piece out of each loaf. You take one loaf, and that'll cover the entire bowl full. Aval, however, b'matzos b'erev ha-pesach, what if this was when you were baking matzah on Erev Pesach? Right? Old school. The im shachach v'lo hifrish, tzarech l'shayr mikol achas v'achas. Then you will, in fact, need to separate from each matzah. V'mei shegibulan kol achas v'achas b'fnei atzma, because each one is needed in its own right. Then after Yantuf, you'll take all these little pieces, put them in one basket, or big pieces, because it's kazayas of matzah, right? It's like half your matzah. Nonetheless, you're going to put them all in one basket. Umitzarfan lachala, you will count them as one, as far as chala is concerned. V'yafreshmin kulam achas. And then from all of it, you'll separate. Fine. Im umihu. But then he says, in Yirtza Lasa's Davar Kal, if you want an easy way to deal with this, you know what you do? It's a brilliant suggestion Tosfos gives you. He says, this is a no-brainer. Yase Matzah Achas. Today is Yom Tov. You're allowed to bake on Yom Tov. Make one more matzah. V'yofa Osa, and bake it. V'yitzarfeim, and combine everything together in one bowl. He says, and then you can separate from the new one. Right? You're worried about what to do because you baked this stuff yesterday, and therefore you're not supposed to be separating challah from it today. So bake a new matzah, right? And separate from that one. That's 100% mutter. And since you put them all together in the same bowl, you can do one challah from all of them.
When you say you put them all in the same bowl, you mean when you made the dough originally?
No.
You mean
I can keep
product?
Them all for your finished product.
So that we say now, then when women bake now, and they have a certain shear, and they put it in two separate bowls.
Correct.
And if they put it
into one bowl, then they
so that means throughout the process, when they put it in the when they have the finished product in the when they actually bake it. So let's say they bake it in two bowls. So they have the shear, but each bowl does not have the shear.
Right.
So they need each one separately. They make the challah separately. They throw them into the oven, let's say, together, though.
Right. I'm not holding a challah right now able to say, but I believe that you want to keep them separate
the whole way through, because
why would
it seems
you just
like
take a piece from the
because otherwise it doesn't make sense.
Correct.
Yeah. Why don't you just take a piece from the dough, and that covers off the entire
From which dough?
You usually have all the dough in one.
No, but these were all baked yesterday.
I understand that, but
these were all prepared yesterday. Or not, unless you're going to say that we're talking about dough that was not baked off yesterday. The dough was made yesterday, and then you let it rise, and now it's on Yom Tov, and you're going to bake the whole thing.
Bake everything.
So maybe that's what your run here is, that you're actually mixing them together pre-baking. Unlikely, though, given that we're talking about matzah.
Right,
that's a very bad idea with matzah. You're not leaving the matzah to rise. If we're talking matzah, then no, this was baked yesterday. If it wasn't baked yesterday, you have bigger problems than a fresh challah. So that has to be the case. This was baked yesterday, and we're saying that putting it in.
Yesterday.
Right. Well, I mean, the whole idea of baking matzah on Yom Tov raises other problems, as the Gemara discusses. But good. Okay, so the upshot of all of this is, aside from the fact that we have now actually wrapped up this this Mishnah that we started with, way, way back when, in at Alan's house, that we started this Mishnah umpteen months ago. But what we saw here regarding this Kisei Adam were two more points. Number one, if you have mixtures of dam that contain stuff that requires covering and stuff that does not require covering, so then we say that if you can cover it all at once, do so. If you can't, then don't do it, because you don't know if any individual one has the dam requiring kisui. It's like the koi. And then second, we said that if you did the shechita erev Yom Tov, don't do the kisui on Yom Tov. But if you did the kneading of the dough on erev Yom Tov, then you do separate challah on Yom Tov. And this does not contradict the idea that separating challah is unnecessary, because even within that view, it's still called separating challah, and that's why Avodah Shmuel would oppose doing it, even though Rabbah said you do. Rabbah says you do it on Yom Tov, Avodah Shmuel says not, and Shmuel will concur. Okay, pick up next week.